In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I think a lot of interesting texts today. I was laughing to myself. You know, I don't look at what the setup for the readings are that the lay readers read until I hear them when you hear them. And I think sibling relationships can be complicated. It's probably the understatement of the whole Bible. Sibling relationships can be slightly more than complicated in life and in the scriptures. But let's talk about our parable of the sower today. How many of you are familiar with that? Have heard people preach on it? It's not the first time you've heard it. Seeing head nod. Okay, good. Well, even if it is, it's good because you're going to get the best sermon you heard on it now. So it's okay. It's fine. It's fine. You know, our text, our gospel reading today leaves something out, and it's really important for us to understand the parable of the sower. If you notice in our reading, we read the first part of the chapter and the last part of the chapter, and we miss the middle. And what goes on in the middle is Jesus and the disciples have a little back and forth, and the disciples ask, why do you preach in parables? And Jesus says, well, I do it so that, you know, people who are open to hear, and people who aren't, don't. But I'll tell you what it means. So this is Jesus explaining to the disciples what the parable means. And I think he's giving them a real personal perspective on it. Explaining to them why Jesus is out teaching and doing all these wonders, and some people respond and some people don't. For some people, the words of Jesus are life-changing and transforming, and for other people, it's just, can't be bothered. And he's explaining about the seed and the soil. And this is something everybody in his time, or most people in his time, would have understood. The farming culture. It's like the ranching culture here, right? We just get it. We know it. And so he explains to them, you know, the word is sown, and where it's in good soil, it bears fruit. And where it's rocky or thorny or the path is too hard, it doesn't. And I feel like he's explaining to them, like, this is what I do. This is my ministry, and yours too. We sow liberally. We sow generously. Now, we might think, if we were farmers, let's pretend we're farmers for a minute. If we were farmers, we'd say, why would, in the world would you sow your seed like that? Because 25% of your seed's going to bring forth fruit, and 75% is going to do nothing. Is that efficient? It's not. We don't have to be farmers to know that's not efficient. Right? That's not efficient when 25% of our seed bears fruit and 75 doesn't. I think there's a genius in this that Jesus talks about. Is that we don't know the good soil. We just sow across the spectrum. And we don't know the good soil. And I think if it were up to us, if Jesus said, you know what? Sow where you think good soil is. We would probably make a lot of misjudgments. We probably, just human nature, right? Look at people who are like us and we think, oh, there's good soil. We'd miss a lot of other people in the midst. We would miss a lot of fruit if we just sowed where we thought good soil was. But Jesus says, you don't know where the good soil is, so you sow everywhere and you'll see where it is when you see the fruit. It's a great way of protecting us from ourselves and our prejudices and our biases and just the things we all have as people. God has good soil in places we could never imagine. I was just hearing a story about Timothy Keller. Any of you familiar with Timothy Keller? He's a big author, Christian author and pastor in New York City. He was telling a story about how his brother died of AIDS, and his brother came to faith through AIDS chaplaincy. And I would just think, you know, probably we wouldn't necessarily assume that there'd be a lot of, that would be a place where we'd see a lot of fruit in AIDS chaplaincy. But, you know, he was talking about his brother had this really powerful conversion in ministry to AIDS patients and how many people's lives were changed in that. You know, we don't know where the fruit is, so we sow everywhere. And God knows where the soil is. So I think if we were one of his disciples walking away from that, we would have that in our heart. We don't know who responds the way they do or why they do the way they do, but we sow everywhere, and where the soil is ready, the seed will grow. But I would like to think that if Jesus were talking to the regular people that were there like us, maybe he'd explain it a little differently. Because if you're a farmer, let's go back to pretending we're farmers. If you're a farmer and you're listening to Jesus talk about this, you would understand certain things about farming. Right? We can't control a lot. We can't control the weather. We can't control if there's a drought. We can't control if there's a flood. We can't control if it's too cold in the winter. We can't control if it's not sunny enough. All those things out of our hands. But there's one thing we can control if we're farmers. That's the dirt. We can work the dirt. That's what we do. If we're doing our end. Can't control the weather. Can't control the things in nature. But we can work the dirt. And I would like to think that if we were hearing it, we would come away with some different things than maybe we traditionally do. If we were sitting with those farmers in Palestine, then we would hear them talking about the dirt. Because Jesus gives us a little key to understanding. When he starts explaining the parable, he talks about the hard ground. And he said, those are those who hear the word, but the evil one comes and snatches it from their hearts. So Jesus has given us a key about the dirt. The dirt's not the type of person we are. The dirt's our heart. The soil's our heart. And how the word grows in our heart. So I feel that changes perspectives on how we look at this. Because it'd be easy to say, you know, some people are rocky soil, right? Jesus says they just don't have a lot of root and the hardships of life come in, which we have, a lot of us have no control over. Right? We don't control when cancer comes or when a loved one gets sick or when a parent deals with illness. We don't control those things or when a child is sick. We don't have, those aren't in our hands. We don't make those things. But what we're talking about is what's in our heart and how do we, what's the attitude of our heart? So the first path is hard. You know, if we read it just as like those are some people and the sower steps on them as he sows, right? He talks about the path. Well, the sower has to walk somewhere to sow the seed. But if we think about it as hearts, Jesus is talking about a hard heart and full of anger, hatred. The word can't go. It's like putting seed on concrete. It just doesn't work. It doesn't absorb. Nothing can grow there. So the evil one comes and snatches it away, right away. Can't grow. And he talks about the rocky ground, right? And this is, again, what's in our heart, right? There's a lot of things that shake us in the world. There's a lot of things that might worry us and trouble us, but are we internalizing them to the point that they consume us? Or are we just dealing with them, right? We all have known people this past year that have internalized our politics in this country to the point where it consumes them, right? And it makes them angry, affects relationships, right? That's a great example of how the things outside of our control come in here and change us. This is what Jesus is talking about. When we let that happen, the word doesn't get root. And the thorns, right? The thorny ground, those places where the love of things and the lure of wealth. Now, I'm going to assume most of us have things. We all own a thing. I own things. Several things. So it's really impossible to live without things. But remember what Jesus is talking about, where we're talking about. Do we love the things? You know, I hope we don't love things. But it chokes the seed. It chokes the gospel when we love things. There's a story of the rich young man. He came to Jesus and said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, follow the commandments. He said, I follow all those commandments. And Jesus said, give up what you own to the poor and follow me. And he said, he was sad because I can't do that. But that was a moment where his love of things choked the seed, choked the word. And then there's the good soil where the seed grows. And we know in good soil, the seed grows. When I was in seminary, one of my older professors said, here's a good piece of advice for people starting a ministry. Have a hobby that you could see results in. Because church ministry, John, Dave, you'll back me up on this, is never done. It's never done. It's never finished. When Jesus comes back is the day it'll be done. And until then, we're working. So have a hobby where you can see things finish. Because it's just rewarding to see things finish. So I thought that was kind of, you know, oh, right, whatever. Until about a year, I was like, I need a hobby where I can see something finish. So we started gardening. Because I like to garden, and not flowers, because I'm too selfish of a gardener to grow flowers. I want to eat what I grow. There has to be a payoff at the end, right? I just can't look at it. I need to eat it. So we started growing food, and of course, the first year we come here, I'm like, I'm going to grow this and that, and we grew nothing. And you know why I grew nothing, right? Because the dirt stinks. You can't grow stuff. You can't just put some seed in your backyard and watch things grow. So the second year we had our raised beds, and we thought, I'm gonna put, you know, fertilized soil in there, and I'm gonna pull out all the weeds, and I'm gonna pull out the rocks, and I'm gonna make it nice. I'm gonna work the dirt, and I'm gonna plant seeds. And they grew, and the tomatoes grew, and the peppers grew, and the zucchini grew, and grew, and grew, and grew, right? Because when the dirt's right, the seed grows. That's how it works. We can't control the other stuff, but when the dirt's right, the seed grows. And what Jesus is saying, and what I think those farmers would take away, and maybe if we could talk to them, they'd explain it to us even better, is that when we can't control God, we can't make him do things, but we can trust his promise. If our prayers were directed towards making the soil right in our hearts, then the seed would grow 30, 60, 100-fold. So I would encourage you to think about it from the farmer's perspective, to think about the soil and the dirt and how, what's our heart, what's the soil like? Do we have that anger in there that's making it hard for the seed to get through? Are there too many of the cares and concerns from the outside coming in? Are the thorns choking the life out of it, the love of things? Or can we have well-prepared dirt for the seed? Because if our dirt is right, the soil's right in our hearts, the seed will grow. And we'll see fruit in our lives from the Spirit of God. That's the promise. We can't control it. We can trust the promise. So I would walk away from that encounter thinking and directing my prayer a little more about, what's the soil like in my heart? Am I receptive? Is it ready to receive the seed that Jesus promises us will grow and bear fruit if our soil is right? Okay, we'll stop there. We'll continue on with the creed in a moment, but I encourage you in your prayers to think about your heart and the soil.